Yeah, they heard you say, Mother or Father, I love you. And when was the last time that they heard you say, Daughter or Son, I love you.
Boy, I love this record. And that's Stevie Wonder from a long time ago. But anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. My guest is Congresswoman Marjorie Margolius, and we're going to be talking about some fascinating things. You know, the beauty of sacrificing one's life to impact somebody else's. Out of all the things you are talking about, we cannot miss in that the fact that you decided to sacrifice and dedicate your life to improve the lives of somebody else. I admire that more than words can say. My wife and I took in a 100% disabled child 18 years ago who still requires 24-hour care. So, I mean, my hat's off to you. We need more people who may not realize just how much that impacts your own life and gives your own life purpose.
How is it a he or a she? How is
he's a he.
How is he doing?
Well, he still requires 24-hour care. He was born with half a brain, and so
wow,
he'll always need 24 hours care. But just, you know, you realize it. You learn so much. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're so right. I mean, when people say, "Oh, what a wonderful thing to do," I honestly don't want to use naughty words, but nonsense. I got so much out of it, and I knew I would. I mean, I knew I would. I knew that it's not right for everybody, but I knew that I had the temperament, whatever that means. But I mean, I knew that I could do it. I knew that there would be, you know, times when it would fall apart, and it did. But I got so much more out of it than anyone. I'm talking selfishly.
Right. So let's get into what made you decide to make such a strong leap to organize women to save other women and children from these different nations.
You know, my parents were that way. I mean, I when I was in college, I suggested that we sponsor. There was a young woman. My dad said, "Oh, absolutely." And then there was another family that they sponsored. It was always a kind of, pay it forward in my house. I mean, they were really good parents, lovely parents. So, and then it happened, and it happened to be then, and a lot of it was just luck, but to happen to find a family, who wanted to make sure that it worked, because it does take a bit of a village to make it work. I don't know. I can tell you honestly, it's not, people always say, "Oh, it's something that just makes us feel more useful, better, with purpose." And I think we all need that, especially now. I mean, the last couple of years have been so challenging. We just need fulfillment and purpose, and I found it that way. And I said, it's not right for everybody.
How did you find the energy? I mean,
I want to ask you, where is your accent from? You're definitely not there. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Who are you talking to, Earl or me? You're talking to Earl.
I think Earl. Yeah. Earl.
I'm born and raised here in the United States, city of Milwaukee. State of Wisconsin.
Okay. All right.
But Sandy had a question for you.
Well, Earl, where'd your parents come from, though? Your parents were...
They're from Arkansas.
Yeah, so you have a bit vestige probably of that.
Yeah, I'm not aware, but,
I know some people from Arkansas.
Yeah, well, chances are slim. But anyway, Sandy, you had a question.
Well, my question is, you know, where'd you get the energy to do all this? Because you didn't just do all this. You it looks to me, when I look at your resume, like you had a long career in journalism and reporting at the same time as you were raising not just 2, 3, 4, 5, but you know, a whole almost a baker's dozen of children. So you obviously have.
Energy.
Yeah, you got.
Well, I don't know. That's a very fair question, and I don't.
And a bubbly personality.
Well, but I mean, the ability to do that and raise children. I lots of people struggle with 2 or 3 children, if both members of the household are working. But it sounds like you'd had far more than that. So that's.
I think there was a lot of. I mean, I can tell you when my first child came, Lihei. And my parents had other grandchildren. My dad was so devoted to her. It was unbelievable. So I always said, yeah, I mean, love your help. and
you dropped it on your on your parents.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
I'm but only they, joking.
They were so supportive. I mean, my dad would, you know, when she went from elementary school to her, but she went from her to the daycare center, he would just quietly, in the beginning, just in a car, follow the group that was going. He was so devoted to her. And she was amazing. I don't know, this is a silly story, but I can tell you, when I went to pick her up once, the kids ran over to me and said that her teacher, Mrs. DeSantis, said, look, do not laugh. I'm going to call on Lihei to see if she can help us. She doesn't speak English. And the kids ran over to me and said, Lihei's the best reader in the class. I mean, it was just one of those amazing experiences. But I let the village take over. I mean, you know, when we had these refugee families living with us, and they would you know, help with the kids. And I thought that was, and I was lucky enough to have help, which I think is one of the things. You can't do it by yourself.
Speaking of that, and you in Congress, but I've been sort of concentrating on and obsessing about the fact that in most of developed nations we have maternity leave for parents and we have child daycare provided by the state. And why don't we hear, and you're a congresswoman, and why can't Congress begin to focus on issues like this? I mean, we had a child tax credit, but I think the conservatives were worried about simply putting cash in the hands of parents that might not spend it on their children. But why not have the state actually provide these services? And then you can be sure they're used for what the money is spent for. And, I've just been very troubled by the lack of values in the American culture that has not given us these fundamental things that are important for the next generation. And maybe is that a project that you're committed to?
I totally, totally agree with you. When I was a member, those were the issues that I fought for and hoped for. And the real way to solve that, and you put it so well, is for the people who are listening to this, call your members of Congress and take it seriously. Call them and say, look, we don't have this and we need it. And we're going to their offices and volunteer. I mean, the people whom I actually hired to come to Washington with me when I was there for, you know, it was a long time ago. The important thing was they were people who had gotten involved in the community. And you can do that, especially in
Hey Marjorie, I hate to disturb you and interrupt you, but if we don't go to a break, my engineer is going to cut us off. So we got to do it. We'll do it right now. Hang on.
Okay,
we'll be right back.
Bless you,
you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.